But we did a grocery store run. Today is still September the 19th, 2016, year of our Lord Hussein Obama. Third episode we're recording today. We're on a roll. By the way, it's Monday, and I can do this because I do what I do. Randy can do this on a Monday because she's independently wealthy. That's why we're friends, because she has a really cute butt and because she's independently wealthy. So, yeah, she's over there doing her thing. And what was I going to say? Oh, yeah, we went to the grocery store. Man, it's nice outside. I like fall. I was going to say something else. Oh, yeah, you'll remember a while back I was talking about how I was doing. We were doing computer work here at the studio and I had shit all over the place. Computer work's all done. New computer is built. It's noisy as hell. One of the fans is making a lot of noise. I gotta figure that out. And you can scream, shout, whine, cry, sniffle, piss, moan, look for a safe space, and be triggered. You can shove your opinion up your ass. That way Obama's cock has something to keep it company. Don't forget, my friends and my enemies, the third, ever-present, most likely third possibility. You are wrong, and I am right. Thank you. The fans go fucking wild. Oh, women are taking their underwear, throwing them at the stage. Men are throwing $100 bills. Ah, yes, this is what it's like to be the Great One himself, the founder of Cynical Libertarian Society, and this is Stating the Obvious Podcast. It is the weapons platform in which I launch the cruise missile of my intellect, comes in on, and destroys. Destroys with a nuclear motherfucking explosion. All the fucking statist out there, left-wing statist, right-wing statist, statheist, homo statist, GLBTKKK statist, Jew statist, tranny statist, statheist, doesn't fucking matter. If you're sitting around going, without the government, who would build the roads? You're dead. And I'm dropping shit on the floor. We are still Cynical Libertarian Society on the interwebs, cynlibsoc.motherfucking.com. That is the lovely and adorable Randy over in the control room. On the Twitterverse at cynlibsoc. And of course, you can send us email. You can send love messages, hate messages, death threats, naked pictures, cat pictures, like cute cat pictures. That's good, I can't talk. I'm not boozing either. The only thing I have here is water. We started off this morning with tea. Hot tea. I've started doing hot tea in the morning before I go out trail running. So I had hot tea this morning, went trail running, came back, had coffee, and recorded an episode, and then had breakfast, then had a gin and tonic and recorded an episode, and then went to the grocery store and enjoyed the sunlight and saw some cute girls, and now we're recording an episode, and I need to close the fucking email before I get distracted again, because that's what happens. What is this shit? Oh my god, really? I'm getting spammed by LinkedIn. You always tell when some idiot joins LinkedIn, and they do that little thing where invite everybody in your email address book to join LinkedIn. Anyway, cat pictures. You can send us email that has cat pictures in it. If you so desire, you can send that to God. It's dog spelled backwards. God at cynlibsoc.com. Fuck. Gotta learn to talk. And this will be the third and final episode we're recording today because we both have other things to do. And it's still early. I mean, we'll be finished. It's 3:20 right now. We'll be finished by 4:30. Well, that was show notes. Ah, fuck. Show notes are the bane of my existence. God, I hate doing show notes most of the time. All right, let me pick up where I left off in the previous episode, so I'm jumping into something. This is Leonard Pitts Jr. writing an op-ed column about how much he hates Donald Trump because Donald Trump isn't a Democrat, which, again, as I said, guys, if Donald Trump had run as a Democrat, everybody is saying he's Hitler would be supporting him. It's just a fact, okay? It's like, if I actually posted a link to this in Linkage, the linkage that went up yesterday, right? Bill Maher, that's who it was. Bill Maher said, I'd vote for a dead Hillary Clinton. It's like, yes, this is what I've been saying all these years. People who vote Democrat will vote for whomever the Democrats nominate for the presidential election. It doesn't matter who it is. Like, there's this theory that a lot of people in the manosphere and the alt-right and all these other things have, that one reason Donald Trump's going to win the election, which he's not going to win the election, I keep telling you that, but they think one thing that's going to happen is that the Bernie Sanders supporters are not going to go out and vote for Hillary Clinton. And sure, I mean, you can believe that, but you have to be stupid to believe that. The Bernie Sanders supporters are liberal Democrats. They will vote for whomever the Democrats nominate. It's that simple. They understand their only purpose in being alive is to vote Democrat. It doesn't matter. Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, like I said, Donald Trump. If Donald Trump was the Democrat Party nominee for president, they'd all vote for him. It doesn't matter. So this is a column by Leonard Pitts Jr. with Trump. We can't let history repeat itself. It's comparing Hitler to Trump, Trump to Hitler, what the fuck ever, because nobody can come up with any truly rational arguments as to why Donald Trump shouldn't be the president, which, as I have said multiple times, is sad, right? It's kind of like saying, here's the equivalent. It's like saying, you shouldn't stand in front of an oncoming train because standing in front of a train is like Hitler. Now, an intelligent person could come up with some different reasons. Say, well, you shouldn't stand in front of an oncoming train because standing on the train tracks is legally, technically trespassing. That land belongs to the railroad company. You should not stand in front of an oncoming train because if the train doesn't see you or doesn't stop in time, the train will hit you and you will probably die. Right, see, those are logical, rational, coherent reasons not to stand in front of a train that can be supported with objective, empirical, verifiable evidence. What's so truly pathetic about the left-wing statist and faggots like Leonard Pitts Jr. is that the only reason they can concoct to not vote for Donald Trump is that he is like Hitler. That's it. That's all they've got. And the fact that that is all they've got is definitive evidence of how fucking stupid they are. Okay, so anyhow, let's pick this up where I left off. No, I don't predict a new Holocaust if Trump bamboozles America into electing him. See, now again, Trump can't get, like if Trump bamboozles people into voting for him. No, if Trump were to get elected, it would be because the most people voted for him. There's no bamboozling. I mean, did Obama bamboozle his way into office? But some new calamity, inconceivable to us now, but repulsive to the values we claim to hold dear, does seem certain. Who is this we that you are talking about there, Pitts? What values could you possibly hold other than hating white people, hating men, hating heterosexuals, hating Republicans, hating Christians, wanting more free stuff, wanting more welfare, wanting to punish people? What the fuck values are you talking about that we hold dear? I don't hold any values that are in alignment with any of the values that you're going to say you hold. And that raises a question. If one should never be too quick to make comparisons to Germany in the 1930s, is it not also important, on rare occasions it is merited, to make sure one is not too slow? In other words, the point of that sentence was to compare Donald Trump to Hitler. Again, there's been no evidence presented yet by Pitts of anything that would make Donald Trump unsuitable. Let me rephrase that. More unsuitable for president than anybody else. I mean, Hillary Clinton is barely alive and in a coma right now. He's Hitler. One reason, after all, that no one saw Hitler for what he was is that people simply could not conceive of anything as preposterously monstrous as what eventually occurred. You mean like putting Japanese people in concentration camps? You mean like ignoring the intelligence that said the Japanese were going to bomb Pearl Harbor so we could go into World War II? You mean like the Tuskegee experiment? You mean like exposing American troops to radiation during nuclear bomb testing? You mean subjecting American troops to LSD to see what it would do to them? You mean the fabricated Gulf of Tonkin? Are those the kind of preposterously monstrous things that couldn't be foreseen? Is that what you're talking about? They took refuge in the assurance, the false assurance, as it turned out, that reason would eventually reassert itself. The failure of imagination is often a component in tragedy. That's why I've always declined to blame the Bush administration for 9/11. Before that, who could have conceived of fanatics using jetliners as missiles? Well, first of all, Muslims could. Because unlike you, Fag Pitts Jr., the Muslims aren't cowards. Many people could have conceived of using jetliners as missiles. It's not that difficult to figure out. Before that one, Muslim took, when in France, where what, he drove all those people with a truck? Who could have conceived of using a truck as a missile? Lots of people. Leonard, just because you're a fucking idiot doesn't mean other people are stupid. Again, liberalism, left-wing statism is all about taking your own stupidity and projecting it on other people, right? My friend who's all into legal euthanasia. I keep been talking about this lately. This keeps coming up. You know, he's like, well, the government needs to make killing yourself legal because some people won't be able to kill themselves because they won't be smart enough to kill themselves and they'll mess it up. That's just him projecting his inability to kill himself on other people. But afterward is another story. Once you have seen for yourself that the unthinkable is not, it moves from the arena of imagination to that of history. And then you must use it. So what about before Hillary Clinton's emails got all leaked all over the internet? Nobody could have conceived of somebody reading somebody else's email. And so what happened with the DNC? Oh, there's all the emails people got showing that the DNC was making sure Bernie Sanders didn't win the fucking nomination. Oh. But afterwards is another story. Once you have seen for yourself that the unthinkable is not, it moves from the arena of imagination to that of history. And then you must use it to understand where we are and help chart where we should and should not be going. Once again, there's the royal we, where we. I know, here, you know where we want to go? Again, I've said this before, it's not going to happen. But I would love for Donald Trump to build a wall between the United States and Mexico. But it's not going to happen. I would love for Donald Trump to build concentration camps and put everyone who's registered Democrat in the camps and kill them. It would make my dick hard. Okay, so when you sit there, where we should and should not be going, you don't know where I want to fucking go. That's called statism. The idea that where you want to go should be forced on everybody else. Listen to me, Leonard fucking faggot Pitts. I don't want to go to the places where you're going. You and I don't share any fucking values. You can't blame people who didn't realize what Hitler was. They had never seen anything like him before. Right, because Hitler was the first world leader who ever killed other people. Remember, until Hitler was Hitler, there were never wars, there were never prisoners of war, there was never genocide, people never died in war. No, none of that happened until Hitler came along. You and I, however, have no such excuse. There it is, man. People have got to move past this. Donald Trump is Hitler. And come up with some kind of real reason. And not just a reason. And again, look at everybody. Look at all the liberal Democrats. Look at everybody. Are any of them giving you reasons to vote for Hillary? Have you heard? Again, Obama, he had a beautiful propaganda machine. He had the blueprint for change. How he was going to do it. And yeah, he did it really well. You look at the Obama campaigns. You learn a lot. He was, and maybe not necessarily him personally, but he hired people. He was working with people. These people were master manipulators. They were masters at propaganda. Obama gave you reasons to vote for him. He said, I'm going to close Guantanamo Bay. I'm going to end the war in Iraq. I'm going to give you free health care. I'm going to bring change. Whether you agree or not is completely irrelevant. Obama, his campaign, presented reasons to vote for him. Has Hillary Clinton presented any reason to vote for her other than she has a vagina, heterosexual white men who have jobs are all racist, and Donald Trump is Hitler? Has Hillary Clinton presented any rationale other than that to vote for her? One of the blogs I've been reading often lately is America.org. Is it America.org? I never remember. It is America.org. America is spelled with a K. They are what I will call right-wing statist because they're right-wingish and because they're statist. I agree with much of what's over there, and I find it interesting and good writing and intellectually challenging. And I've been putting them on the linkage quite a bit. So I'm reading a post today. It came out on the 14th of September. God, they've been publishing a lot of shit lately, too. It's like, I can't even keep up with it. When I first started reading it, it's like every couple of days or something. And now, holy shit, dude. It's like, on the 18th, yesterday, they put out 5 posts. On the 16th, they put out 4. On the 5th, holy shit, on the 15th, 11 fucking post? Whew, I can't keep up. Anyhow, there's some good shit over there. So I'm reading this piece, and I'll put a little quote from this in the excerpts. It's entitled, The Successful Nations Are Inside Out. And it is... I've read it twice, and I'm not going to say that I have a 100% understanding of where he's trying to go. So I'm going to talk about my current interpretation of what he's saying. So here we go. Individualism, political and social philosophy that emphasize the moral worth of the individual. Although the concept of an individual may seem straightforward, There are many ways of understanding it, both in theory and in practice. The term individualism itself, and its equivalents in other languages, dates, like socialism and other isms, from the 19th century. Individualism, and this he's quoting somebody else here. Individualism once exhibited interesting national variations, but its various meanings have since largely merged. Following the upheaval of the French Revolution, individualism was used pejoratively in France to signify the source of social disillusion and anarchy, and the elevation of individual interest above those of the collective. The term's negative connotation was employed by French reactionaries, who were probably really good at surrendering, because that's what the French do best, nationalists, conservatives, liberals, and socialists alike, despite their different views of a feasible and desirable social order. Okay, that's the end of that little quote, sort of setting the stage for what individualism is. At least this one definition interpretation of it. This is what Brett, who's the author who's writing this, Brett writes. No one can quite put their finger on it, but individualism is the essence of the outside-in mentality. And I'm in the middle of the post right here, so you don't know what this means, but go read the fucking post for yourself. Not your goddamn mama. This is paradoxical. Assertion of the individual as an ideological concept replaces the achievements of the individual as an independent actor. Individualism protects the individual from having to test himself by attempting to achieve goals and succeeding or failing. Okay, so let me try to interpret this, because I'm going to disagree with this, and so this is why I need to stop and interpret, talk about how I'm interpreting what he's writing. What I'm getting from this, okay, the paradoxical assertion of the individual as an ideological concept is replacing the achievements of the individual. Okay, so you have the individual actually achieving and doing things. And in this case, the individual is, as he says here, an independent actor, or what I would call an agent, right? Which women are not, because women can never be held responsible for anything that they do or that happens to them. Women are, as I've said, objects. Only men can be agents, because only men are responsible for their outcomes. So it began with the individual as the independent actor, as the agent. And he's saying that the assertion of individuality as an ideological concept, as opposed to actual achievement, that the ideological concept of the individual is replacing the individual who simply achieves and does things. So I'm interpreting it's becoming less of a, I have accomplished, done something. Here we go. It's transforming from a person is what they do, what they achieve, to simply a person is a person because they are a person, right? It's the difference between, you know, the stupid people, well, human beings are human beings, not human doings. And as I pointed out, I used to be stupid enough to say that myself. Then I grew up when I realized that no, just being doesn't matter. It's what you accomplish that matters. And what he's saying here is that the being that accomplishes is being replaced by the being which is simply existing. Okay. Individualism, that was long fucking winded. Individualism protects the individual from having to test himself by attempting to achieve goals and succeeding or failing. Exactly. So when you move from the individual who is the agent who does things to the individual who is, well, I'm a snowflake. I exist. I'm special. I should receive things because I exist. Yes, individualism, ideological individualism, let's call it that for clarity. Ideological individualism protects the individual from having to test himself by attempting to achieve goals and succeeding or failing. Okay, if we clarify individualism as ideological individualism, my brain is going faster than my mouth. Oh, I fucking hate when that happens. If we specify ideological individualism with that definition, then yes, it does protect the individual from having to test himself by attempting to achieve goals, succeeding, failing. Okay, it removes the burden of adaptation to reality by insisting that the individual is fine just the way he is, or equal. Yes. So this is good. I'm working through this with you right here, right now. This is called thinking. Some of you are just terrified by what's happening right now because I'm reading something, I'm interpreting, and I'm thinking about it. Some of you have never done this in your life. That's why I like doing this on the podcast, because there are people out there who have never done this before. Okay. This comforts the human mind by removing the primary struggle outside pure animal survival. Now, I'm not going to keep reading, but part of his assertion here appears to be that ideological individuality is a bad thing. And we would agree on that. The question becomes, what to do about it? What to do about it would, of course, be the elimination of the state, because that's the answer to everything, of course. It's like a religion. What's the answer to everything? Well, God. God said, God willed it, right? Well, great one. What's the answer to everything? Oh, you know, it's called natural selection. Step number one is get rid of the state. So how do we reverse the transformation to ideological individualism? Well, we get rid of the state. Because once the state is gone, the ideological individuals will begin to die off. Because there will be nobody there to protect them. There will be no hate speech. There will be no welfare. There will be no support system for those who are incapable of achieving, of creating value for other people, of getting along. There will be no entity to force other people to be nice to you, even though you're not particularly deserving of people being nice to you. So it's an interesting piece. I can recommend you go over it. It turns out I didn't maybe disagree with his premise as much as I thought I did, because once I worked through it, I think I see where he's coming from. So anyhow, it's a good blog, AmericaWithAK.org. Go check it out. What do I got here? Matches not made in heaven. Jolin Johnston, a resident of Fort Bend County, was very specific when she paid $12,000 to the dating service It's Just Lunch. She wanted to meet physically active men about her age, 50, who didn't have facial hair, tattoos, or children. For a 50-year-old woman, she's kind of picky. She might want to scale. But if you're a 50-year-old woman and you want to meet a man, you might want to scale your expectations down to has penis. Okay? Just saying. The service arranged 6 dates. 2 of the men had tattoos and beards. Another wanted children. 1 was in a back brace. That sounds like ableism. So she's discriminating against him because he's in a back brace? That's very ableist. So 2 of the men had tattoos and beards. Did this dating service not show her pictures of these people before she went on the date? Needless to say, Johnston was not happy because, of course, she's a woman and women are never happy. Women are never satisfied with anything. No matter how much a woman has, she always wants more. It doesn't matter how many shoes they have. They want more shoes. What? Oh, Randy, you know it's true. How many shoes do you have? Exactly. Fucking tell me. Oh, I've seen your shoe closet, goddammit. Don't even go there with me, Miss Marcos. Needless to say, Johnson was not happy, and she became one of the many dissatisfied customers who have sued It's Just Lunch, a national franchise with a location in Houston. More than 130,000 clients are part of a separate class action lawsuit in federal court in New York, where It's Just Lunch recently agreed to a settlement valued at $65 million. As part of the settlement, most of the clients will receive vouchers for 2 free dates, each valued at about $450. How can a date? Now, see, I'm not sure. Does this mean that getting a date from this company cost $450? Or does that mean that you go on a date, the value of which is $450, like $450 worth of food, alcohol, entertainment? Either way, if you're paying $450 for a date, you might be a loser. Johnston sued the Houston franchise in state district court in Fort Bend under the State Deceptive Trade Practices Act, claiming the matchmaker knew it could not deliver on its promise to find suitable partners. Now, when you're suing the dating company because it can't deliver on its promise to find suitable partners, what exactly are your demands? Again, this is a 50-year-old woman. What exactly are her demands, I mean, beyond physically active men, about her age, without facial hair, tattoos, or children? Also, does it factor in, I mean, is she fat? Is she ugly? Is she poor? Does she have children? How much debt does she have? She is seeking a refund of her $12,000 fee, along with $36,000 in damages. Yeah, I bet she is. She was asked to join the New York class action lawsuit, but opted against it. "We laughed," recalled Nancy Knox Bierman, Johnson's lawyer, hyphenated last name. Knox Bierman, hyphenated last name. Say it with me, boys. Hyphenated last names are a red flag. At the possibility of more excursions with poorly matched suitors, Peter Shapiro, the lawyer representing It's Just Lunch in the New York class action case, did not respond to request for comment. Trevor Hall, owner of the Houston franchise of It's Just Lunch, declined to comment on the suit, claiming a confidentiality which prevents him from talking about customers. Quote, "We have always maintained the highest level of integrity and honesty in how we serve our clients and have thousands upon thousands of very happy clients as a result," Hall said in a statement. Johnston declined to be interviewed. Her lawyer said Johnston did not return a call seeking comment. It's Just Lunch is based in Florida and builds itself as a personalized dating service that arranges lunch dates or after-work drinks in low-pressure settings, apparently for $450 a pop. The company, which got its start in 1991, sells franchises across the country. Johnston found out about It's Just Lunch from seeing an advertisement in an airline magazine. According to her lawyer, she signed up after visiting a Galleria office, blah, blah. Johnston, who owns an accounting business, lost her longtime partner in a motor vehicle accident. Notice how you can't call them husbands anymore. Was it like just her husband, or were they just like dating? Were they fuck buddies? This is my partner. What are you guys, like motorcycle cops and you ride together? What do you fuck? What? Your partner? This is my partner. I love when people, this is my partner. Okay, that's either your husband or your boyfriend. It's either your wife or a girlfriend or a fuck buddy or a friend with benefit. This is my partner. A busy professional, she upgraded to the company's elite service as a way to find suitable men more quickly. You know, if you can afford $1,200 to meet men, she didn't want to go on a million lousy dates, unquote, said Knox Bierman. Oh yeah, not unlike men who have to go on a million. Again, see, well, I shouldn't have to go on a bunch of lousy dates. Oh, well, welcome to being a man. Welcome to equality. You know how many lousy fucking dates I've been on? Plenty. And not near as many as a lot of other men out there. Not even fucking close to as many lousy, shitty dates with brain-dead bimbos who couldn't fucking form a sentence if their life depended on it. Johnston's experiences were not unique, according to the New York class action suit. One It's Just Lunch member, a vegetarian, of course, a fucking vegetarian, said she was paired with a pig farmer who described how he shoots his hogs behind the ear before slaughtering them. Another said she was paired with a man 6 inches shorter when she specifically said she wanted someone as tall as her. Yes, because God forbid your little fucking princess ass have to date a man who's shorter than you. Oh, because, you know, men are so shallow and all they care about is what a woman looks like. It's a good thing you women are so just deep and you look beyond appearances and the way you look at what's really inside a man's soul and who he is, instead of, you know, judging him by things like whether or not he has facial hair or, yeah, of course, some things he can't control, like how tall he is. Oh, it's such a good thing that you women are just so pure and virginal and enlightened and tolerant and diverse and just, you know, not shallow like us men are. And just don't judge men based on their physical appearance. Oh, we are so lucky that you women exist on the planet to show us the true path to enlightenment and to righteousness and to diversity. Other dating companies have run into legal difficulties. One site was sued for failing to prevent its clients from using stock photos of more photogenic people as their profile pictures. Other users have complained the sites aren't vetted for felons. Hey man, felons need to fuck also. Besides, the women would love that, the bad boys. All right, that was the end of that. All right, hey, that was the pile. Let me get out some more shit here. There's a big pile back here of stuff, material. I went through the pile for the day. We're doing good. What do I got right here? County attorney seeks to block alleged cure-all. What is this about? Oh, this is good. This is good. Here we go. Harris County attorney Vince Ryan filed a lawsuit to stop the sale of a potentially toxic chemical agent touted as a miracle cure at an April 29th through May the 1st Houston church-sponsored event. The suit filed Friday in Harris County District Court seeks a temporary injunction prohibiting the Genesis 2 Church of Health and Healing from promoting or distributing the, quote, miracle mineral solution, unquote, also known as MMS. Now, again, here we see statism. The state, the government, my tax money, people who can't get real jobs, politicians, are spending all this time and money to stop the church from selling this chemical, this potential tax, I don't know if it's a liquid, whatever. From they're doing all this work to stop the church from selling MMS because MMS might kill people. Okay. Let me read this. MMS is a sodium chlorite, a potential, God damn it. I cannot fucking read. MMS is a sodium chlorite, a potent, God damn it, take three, fuck. Use Mr. Mouth and Mr. Lips, and you can form words. MMS is a sodium chlorite, a potent chemical used in pesticides, fracking, and fabric bleaching. It can potentially be fatal if swallowed, according to authorities. The church claims it is an effective treatment against cancer, AIDS, arthritis, malaria, acne, erectile dysfunction, and a score of other ailments. Okay, let's talk about natural selection. This is what I'm talking about. Okay, the state shows up and says, we're going to stop the church from selling this chemical to people who want to put it in their body. Because the people who want to put it in their body believe that this one chemical is an effective treatment against cancer, AIDS, arthritis, malaria, acne, erectile dysfunctions, and a score of other ailments. Which I would agree it is, because if it kills you, you will no longer have AIDS, arthritis, malaria, acne, or erectile dysfunction. People who are dumb enough to believe that one drug, let's just pretend you don't even know what it is, right? Somebody comes in, I have this drug right here, this pill, this liquid, whatever it is. I don't know what form it comes in. This will cure. This is effective treatment against cancer, AIDS, arthritis, malaria, acne, and erectile dysfunction. The idea that one chemical, one drug, one substance would be an effective treatment against all of those, that is something you can only believe if you are truly stupid. If you are, in fact, that stupid, natural selection says you should be dead. But you see, once again, the state shows up to protect the stupid people from natural selection. Why? Well, because these are religious people and they will mostly vote Republican. Thus, we need to keep them alive, so otherwise, who would vote Republican? Quote, quote, "This product is nothing but an industrial bleach concoction that poses a serious health risk to Harris County residents," unquote, Ryan alleges in the suit. What about, so it's only a health risk if you're in Harris, if you're a Harris County resident? Like if you travel from another state, you buy it, it won't hurt you? Quote, "The promoters claim this product can solve practically every ailment known to man is not only ridiculous, but dangerous to the persons who use it," unquote. And those persons should be removed from the fucking gene pool. Look, the church is just trying to put some chlorine, some bleach, in the gene pool. But no, we can't have that, can we? No, the state is going to show up and fuck it up. Speaking of fucking thing, all right, what do we got here? This is stuff, huh? Millennials and their parents. Okay, absence warrants apology. Dear Miss Manners, for our daughter's graduation from high school, oh, I remember this now. Okay, I know where this is going. For our daughter's graduation from high school, we planned a small party with family and a few neighbors and close friends. My daughter does not like parties, so we asked her the week before to let us know if she was feeling uncomfortable and we would call it off. She said she would be okay with it, and we told her she could just come by for a bit and say hi and thank her guest. Day of the party, high school graduation. Okay, she could come by. Isn't the party at your house? Doesn't she live at home? She's in high school. I don't know. Anyway, all right. Day of the party, she leaves and doesn't show up at all, texting her dad that she wasn't coming to the party. So now we have 30 people we are apologizing to and feeling extremely embarrassed by her rude behavior. People left monetary gifts, which my daughter didn't bother to open. Also, her grandparents flew in from out of town, and she was rude to them and didn't thank them for coming. So what do we do with the gifts? Do we send back the checks and cash and thank everyone? Do we keep them and not give them to my daughter directly? Maybe we use them for her college expenses? I feel bad keeping them, but I am not sure if it is just as rude to mail them back. What's neglected here, as always, with the millennials, and again, let us remind ourselves who it is doing this podcast. There is nobody out there. Well, there might be a couple of people. There's not many people out there who will make more fun of the millennials than me. There are not many people out there who are emotionally disgusted by the millennials like me. Like, I've never seen. It's only millennials. Like, I watch them and they like stand there and pick their noses. Like, I've had millennials. They're having a conversation to me face to face, and they'll like stick their finger up their nose and pick their nose while we're talking. I mean, I stick my finger up my nose. I don't do it when I'm talking to people. I do it when it's just me. There's a booger up there. Booger, and I gotta get that fucker out. It's bugging me. Right? Everybody sticks their finger up their nose. But you don't do it when you're having a conversation with another person. There's nobody. Very few people. I mean, there are very few people who despise the millennials more than I do. So the little millennial high school graduate did not show up for her own party. Whose fault is this? Said it before. I'm sure I'm going to say it many more times in the future. The millennials are the dumbest, most worthless. I got to talk about the millennials and how, my God, teaching a millennial how to use a computer. At one of the places where I work sometimes, there's a millennial there, and she can't use a computer. It's like using Excel, like changing the page breaks on Excel and changing the page orientation. And just, they can't even use a computer. It's gone. It's teaching a millennial to use a computer is like trying to teach your mom to use a computer. I mean, it's that point. There's the people right now who are like 70 years old can't fucking figure out a computer. And then there's these people in the middle from the age of like maybe 30 to 50 who know how a fucking computer works. And the millennials, that they're so used to the cell phone that they're right up there with your fucking mom. They don't know she doesn't know how to use a fucking computer. She can't do things on a computer. She has no clue. I don't know how Excel works. I don't know. How do you use Microsoft Word? How do you type a letter? I'm like, are you shitting me? It's like trying to teach an old person how to use a computer. I got the study. So I got the link somewhere. I got to dig it out. We're millennials. We're like the least intelligent people when it came to technology. Have you seen? I just only know about this because of Computing Forever's video he did about it. The iPhone 7. Apparently on the iPhone 7 now, there's no longer a plug-in for your earphones. There's only one fucking interface port on the cell phone. And it's the one you charge. And if you want to listen with wired headphones, you have to buy an adapter from Apple, right? Just like if you want to fucking hook up your Mac computer to a goddamn video monitor, you have to buy an adapter. You have to buy an adapter, you plug it into the charging port, and then you can plug your headphones into that, which means you can't charge your iPhone and listen to music at the same time. But also, with the iPhone, you can buy wireless earbuds. Another thing you can buy from Apple. Right? Because millennials are so... My theory, in addition to just Apple wants to make more money, and the fact that Apple users will buy anything, regardless of how stupid it is, I think part of it is just they said, hey, let's reduce it to only one fucking interface, because millennials are too stupid. If there's two holes, if there's a charger and there's a different hole for the earphones, the millennials get confused. They can't figure this shit out. I've said it before, I'm going to say it again right now, I'm going to say it many times in the future. The millennials did not come out of the vaginas this stupid and pathetic. Your daughter bailed on her graduation party after her grandparents flew in from out of town? That's your fucking fault. And the first thing you should do is stop worrying about the money and take responsibility for the fact that you raised her. Her behavior, which is what you should be concerned with, not the fucking money, is your fault. The millennials did not become the dumbest generation ever without help from their so-called parents. And I use the term parents very, very loosely.